It's time!
You're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into yet another installment of Pound for Pound. I'm Zach Cordova alongside my incredible co-host, Mahdi Dembele. And today, we have the honor of welcoming a very special guest to our show. You've probably seen her during the UFC Apex broadcast or on the line over on UFC Fight Pass. We've got Minty Best in the house today. How are you doing today, Minty?
I'm doing really well, guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, definitely. It's an honor to have you here. Super fun. We always have a good time talking cage here on our little show we have here. Mahdi, how are you doing today?
I mean, Zach, as I always tell you, every single week I enjoy talking cage with you, brother. And we have friends now. We have guests coming on. It's just usually me and you, and I love it that way. But the more friends, the better. So I'm ready to get it rocking, ready to get it rolling. And let's talk some cage.
Definitely. Well, before we get into this fight night card that's going on this weekend, we're going to do a little bit of an interview and Q&A session here with Minty because her job is super, super cool. Even though she is in Las Vegas right now, that's currently boiling, she does have one of the coolest jobs in the world. So, I mean, just to start off, really just you've mentioned on your page before, we've seen it on social media, but I want you to talk a little bit about your unconventional path to your current job and how you got started in sports betting, like a little bit about your background, I guess.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Las Vegas. I've never left. I've never lived anywhere else in my life. And I've always been surrounded by gambling. My dad was a total degenerate, like sports bettor. He worked at the casino and right after work, he would just have so many like bet slips with him and we would be rooting for different like teams when he'd get home. So I really knew betting because of that. And when I turned 21, I was broke and, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. And I was like, you know what? Betting seems really easy. It's just a coin toss, right? You just pick the winner or the total. Not that easy. But that was kind of a wake up call because I was able to learn more about it and study it and kind of have fun with it. So, you know, I bet on and off here and there. But I think in 2019, I really took it more seriously and I started a Twitter page. And that was just kind of like my burner account of like, I was just following different sports bettors and beat writers and journalists and kind of seeing like how I can better myself at MLB betting specifically, because, you know, baseball season is the longest season and it is a sport that not a lot of people love if they don't already have love for the game. And it's very hard to get into if you have like no connection to it. So I started, you know, getting more into baseball betting and I posted my picks on Twitter just for like record keeping and accountability. And it kind of blew up from there after I posted a couple videos of, you know, me giving out my picks. Literally a couple months after that, I got a job offer from Yahoo Sports. And, you know, in 2019, that was kind of the year or maybe like the following year of like legalization of sports betting in the United States. So I was kind of at the right place at the right time because not a lot of people were doing sports betting content. And because, you know, demographically, I don't look like the normal sports bettor that you think of. that was kind of my niche and that was my in. So yeah, I worked with Yahoo Sports for 4 years and I recently left the company in December. But luckily in between then, UFC picked me up and we launched some betting content together during the fight nights at the Apex on ESPN Plus. So I am like incredibly grateful and just so honored to be working with such an amazing international, like worldwide company like UFC, and that they trusted me to be the first one to give out betting picks, you know, on their platform. So that's kind of where it got started. But UFC was not always my like forte. Like I really didn't get into UFC until the pandemic, like a lot of people now. I mean, UFC was the only thing on, or it was horse racing. And it was like, what do I want, horse racing or UFC? So I chose UFC and stuck with it. And because, my time at Yahoo, we focused on UFC a lot. They noticed my work, and I don't know. I just kind of got lucky after that. So that was my journey. I mean, it sounds very short and very lucky, and it was very lucky, but I have worked very hard to get here. And I love it.
No, definitely. I'm sure you've worked hard to get there. I mean, you have probably a lot of people's dream job, and you do it very well. I always see you on all the Fight Night broadcasts. So whenever I get a chance to throw up a live bet just because I see it, I always throw it in there just for the fun of it. So
Thank
thank you
you.
for the money you have won me in the past. But
Of course.
just talking about your job, I mean, what does a normal day look like for you at the UFC, especially on an Apex fight day when you're on air that night or when everybody's showing up to the arena? I'm sure it's a little chaotic in there.
So I'm going to be completely honest with you. I did not go to school for, broadcast, communication, journalism, none of that. So it was very, very nerve-wracking for me to go live on ESPN Plus or ESPN2 or ESPN in general. And I'm still learning each and every day, but typically it's very hectic, but very chill at the same time. Like on Apex Fight Nights, it's hustle and bustle. You see lots of fighters, you see everyone backstage, and the best part for me is getting my makeup and hair done, and wearing cute outfits. But other than that, in between all the fights and in between my hits, I just get to chit chat with all the fighters, and like Anthony Smith or Santiago Ponzinibbio, like guys like that. Like I get to talk to them, and Kamaru Usman sometimes is on there, and we chit chat, and it's just like awesome. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm talking to like potential Hall of Famers here, and they know me, and they ask me what my pick is. Like it's pretty awesome. Truly, I don't really do much other than my hits, and watching the fights, taking notes. But yeah, it's hectic, but I love it, and it's very nerve-wracking. But yeah, typical day is, again, sorry, me getting my makeup done, just practicing, rehearsing my lines. Sometimes we'll pre-tape, but most of the time it's all live. And in between fights, I get to talk to fighters. So what more could I ask for in a dream job?
Minty, it sounds like you chose right between the UFC and horse betting, but why we have to take a dump on horse betting? Come on, guys. I mean, you did do all the right things and you awaited your time and it eventually fell into your lap and you're able to enjoy a job that you really, really love. Zach pointed out to me on your page that sometimes you have the best seats in the house at the Apex cards, right? So what I want to ask you is, I'm sure you have plays, you've crazy ex plenty of crazy experiences there. What has been the most memorable fight or event that you've covered in your career?
Oh man, that's so hard. There's been so many good ones. Huh. This is tough. I think one of the most memorable fights that I have covered, or that I've seen live, I should say. Apex, the UFC Apex gets a lot of, they don't get a lot of credit. Everyone, disses UFC Apex cards. So everyone's like, nah, this is trash. I absolutely love it. And it's a different experience when you're live and you have a good seat and stuff. But I would have to say that one of the most memorable moments was seeing Tom Nolan fight. And Tom Nolan recently, he's just like two fights removed from his Dana White Contender Series fight. And I think he could be something absolutely huge. So seeing him fight live and putting a bet on him in his UFC debut and then losing sucked. But then the second time he came around and won for me, I think in round one, only with like a couple seconds left, was like insane. Like everyone backstage was like, oh my God, Minty, like you had round one, or you had under, I don't remember what I had, but I had Tom Nolan like in round one or something. And he did it with like seconds left when it looks like he wasn't going to do anything else. That was one of the most memorable moments because like everyone was rooting for me, and I was like, oh, well, this bet is dead in the water. So that was really memorable for me because that was a really sweet win.
Yeah, that's fair. And it's always fun to kind of find the new contender. I feel like to find be one of the first people to kind of recognize somebody good. I feel like that's how I was, especially with this last UFC pay-per-view. I've been telling Mahdi about it since I've gotten back. Peyton Talbot is probably the truth. At least he is for me. And I bet on him, even though he's a minus, I don't even know, 1800, because sometimes you got to see a layup go in before other things start happening. But I mean, talking about wins and losses, we're all human. We all go on cold streaks, and the UFC especially, it's very, very unpredictable. So my question is, how do you keep yourself level-headed when picks aren't going your way, especially when you're working like with the community of the MMA community that's super, super, I mean, you could say passionate. And how do you deal with like that pressure, I guess, of making a public prediction?
Never read comments. I literally just like I have notifications blown up, but I just like click it just to because I don't like the mark, like the red thing, the red notification thing. I just click it just to open it and just to have that red mark disappear, but I never read comments because most of the time they're just full of trolls, like people who don't want to show their face, but they act like they know everything and they're just like, oh, how could you pick Ricky Simone over Mario Bautista? Are you dumb? Like, come on, bro. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, I never read comments. I never let the things that other people say get to me. And you know, when I have a losing night, when I'm working at the Apex, you know, people can see it. And like Laura Sanko or like even like Brooklyn, the ring girl, they're just like, are you okay? What's wrong? Like, you know, they're really thoughtful. And you know, I tell them like, I just lost like all my picks or most of my picks, and I'm just not having a good week or a good month. And they're like, it happens, whatever. Like, you know, it happens to all of us. Like, we always pick wrong winners as well. And I'm like, yeah, but like I tell people to bet on them. So yeah, it sucks, but you just can't let things get to you. And I always say, if it won't matter a year from now, then you should just kind of let it go. And I always let it go. Like, new weekend, new slate of fights, it's over. That's like part of the record. It's done. We all lose and we can't be perfect. Also, to your point of Peyton Talbot, yes, another like rookie that I absolutely was so honored to see when he last fought Cameron Simon. I was like, holy cow. And like in the Apex, it's very, very silent when a fight is going on, unless it's like the main event. But man, the cracks that you can hear after like Peyton would like throw a shot at Cameron. I was like, oh my gosh, I have never heard anything that crazy that up close before. Yeah, it was wild. So Cameron Simon was another very memorable one. Thank you for mentioning that.
Minty, I mean, you mentioned just letting it go and moving on to the next, but what happens when you're like me and you just suck at sports betting? I can't even tell you the amount of money and bets that I've lost. Is there a certain method or research technique that you fall back on when making picks? How often do you, I would say, like trust your gut? Because I trust my gut and it lets me down. But then when I think with my head, that doesn't work either. So is there a remedy for people like me?
You know, I've tried so many different methods. I always say, like, hey, if you're having a bad week and you're just having like these cold streaks where it's going on and on and on, I would take a break. But, you know, in my position, sometimes I can't take a break because we have fight nights every other weekend. I just, again, trust my gut. I keep going. I just trust the process and the research. There's no specific method, but there are like specific fighters that I absolutely love and will always tail or will always fade. And there's specific methods that I kind of always rely on. Like when we see Terence McKinney, always round one finish. That's usually my go-to. Mike Malott, he's another guy before, I mean, like UFC Toronto. You know, he was always one that I could depend on to, you know, get that first round finish or a sub or something. And again, with Tom Nolan, always a good first rounder. So there are specific fighters and specific methods that I lean on. And of course, like you, it's really good to actually like bet on the new guys too, not like their first fight, but like maybe fight number two or three, because the markets really aren't adjusted to like their skill set yet. So you can actually find very good value with some of the newcomers. So you just got to keep pushing, trust the process. As much as you want to like change the method or change the system in your bets, just keep going with it. Unless you find a new method that really, really works for you, or you've done your research and, you know, kind of like picked other people's brains and are like, yeah, you know what? That is something good that I should be looking out for. But just trust yourself. And if you can take a break, because that always helps me.
Yeah, no, I get that. One of my things, at least, is I always love to bet on my favorite fighters just because it adds like the little extra, like, yeah, to it. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. And a lot of times, even especially on this podcast, I will make some picks. I've had in the past where I've gotten every single pick right for the episode, but I bet the complete opposite because on here, I'm trying not to be biased. But in reality, when I'm betting, I'm being a little biased. So honestly, I'm making decisions with my heart instead of my head a lot of times. So how do you kind of balance that betting as a profession with your kind of personal enjoyment of sports? And also, I mean, you kind of mentioned some of your favorite fighters to bet on. Do you have any other favorite fighters you like to bet on?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Justin Gaethje is always a guy I'd like to bet on. Love, absolutely love. Dricus du Plessis is also a good one. And I am just so torn on who I'm going to bet on when it's DDP versus Israel Adesanya because Izzy's a great guy. Absolutely love him. But lately, when I've been betting on him, he has not been coming through for me. So that one's, we don't know yet. We don't know where we're going with that. And Max Holloway. And you know what? For the BMF title, I was so torn who I was going to pick, either Justin Gaethje or Max Holloway. But I had to go with the dog. I had to go with the plus money. And Justin Gaethje is always. Note this, Justin Gaethje is always money when he's an underdog, okay? But he was such a big favorite for that matchup, so I had to go Max Holloway, and thank goodness I did. But yeah, there's a lot of fighters that I do love. Who else? Like I said, Tom Nolan, Terrence McKinney. I also love Evan Elder this week, and he's a personal friend of mine, so maybe that's why I get biased a lot too, Zach. So don't worry. I always try not to bet with my heart. But when I see my favorite fighter, I just can't help it. I gotta put some money on it. Even if it's like not for them to win, I try to be not that biased and go with a total instead, or like a method of victory or split decision, or just like some fun props. So if there ever is a situation where I do want to have a little bit of action on my favorite fighter, I just turn to a prop instead and just sprinkle a little money. We don't have to go crazy because, I mean, it's hard not to bet with your heart. Especially when it's a fighter that you love and you look up to. So yeah, it's hard, but keep doing it. I've done the same thing in NFL season where I'll post some picks but bet the opposite. And I'm like, why the F am I doing that? Like, I shouldn't be doing that. I should trust myself and I'm giving out these picks. Why wouldn't I put my own money on it? So yeah, trust yourself, Zach.
Oh my God, if I could just jump in here, the Justin Gaethje thing, I mean, you warm my heart with that. He's one of my favorite fighters. Me and
Yes.
Zach were watching the BMF fight, and I was like watching like a mother, like deciding between her two kids. I mean, I love Justin Gaethje. And obviously, that has to be one of the best parts of your job because sometimes I think you would describe your job as like a blessed chore, right? Something that may be stressful at times, something that's like, oh my God, I really don't want to get out of bed today. I'm not feeling it today. But there's just something that keeps you coming back. What particular element of your job would you say is your blessed chore? It keeps you coming back, and by the time you get there, you're just ready to go.
Oh man, that's such a great question. So, when I made my ESPN Plus debut for giving out fights for the Apex fight, it was February of last year. And it was one of those cards where it was like super late for you guys. It was like 9 p.m. my time when it started. And it was like a very heavy Asian card. Like, it was all the Korean and Chinese fighters from Road to UFC. I went 0-4. Okay. I went 0-4 and I was so nervous already. And I had never been live on a big platform like that before. So it was just honestly the worst 2 weeks of my life because I went home and cried. And I gained like thousands of new followers. And they were all like, yeah, you suck. You're just a pretty face. You just like got hired because you're a girl and hope I never see you again. Like, just like, UFC fan-esque. Like, anger. It was a sucky 2 weeks. And that was like, I was like, maybe I should quit. Maybe I shouldn't do it anymore. But then I thought about it and I was like, you know what? If my boss didn't care and my true like followers didn't really care and know that it happens. And people who bet know that like sometimes you go 0-4, sometimes you go 0-20, sometimes, but that's just part of the game. I have a job that was not a position before, and it was really created for me. So I just have to keep thinking like I'm special, and I did this for myself, and they did this for me, and they believe in me. So I got to keep going, and I got to prove like all the haters wrong because I suck sometimes, but you can't say you suck. I mean, you're the best one too. So yeah, I just always count my blessings and I'm just like so grateful. That's what gets me motivated every day. And of course, my family, like obviously UFC pays me. And I'm like, you know what? Who's going to pay me like UFC? So the money's good. So my family also gets me out of bed and, makes me work.
No, I get that. And going on cold streaks is always one of the worst. I mean, especially when it's like, I remember telling like some of my family, like, you need to get on this guy. This guy's gonna win. And then you feel bad because you're like, oh my gosh, what did I do? But it's such a pressure. But at the same time, I mean, we're all human. We all can't get everything right, especially with UFC. It's just so unpredictable. There's nothing that is certain in this sport. It's
Yeah,
unreal.
exactly.
It's unlike anything.
Like NFL, I mean, when you bet on a team, thankfully you're betting on the whole team. So if someone gets injured, you got a backup, right? But in UFC, if you snap your leg, you're done. Like, that's unforeseeable. No one could have predicted that. And sometimes it's a little annoying when like certain fans or certain bettors are like, well, I mean, you should have taken this other side than this side. And it's like, who would have known that that was really going to happen? Freak accidents happen all the time. And yeah, UFC is definitely a different sport to bet on. It is a different beast for sure.
Yeah, freak accidents, or even just, I mean, everyone talks about getting caught. That happens all the time. And sometimes it's just a sport where a punch changes everything.
Exactly. Remember, I believe it was, I don't remember. Oh, it was Aljo versus Sean. And I think there was a clip that came out. I don't know if you guys saw, but it was like Sean's corner yelling at Aljo, like pretending to coach Aljo and being like, okay, go for it or something. And then, Aljo just went for it and then got caught by Sean. It was like, how can you predict that was going to happen? There's so much noise and it just, you can't, I don't know, you just have to focus as a fighter, but at the same time, you're just like listening to everyone who calls out your name. And yeah, I don't know. It just,
That's
it's
why
happened.
it's so fun. I feel like remember that on Leon Edwards in the first or second Usman fight, that would have been with the head kick knockout, and I just remember being in absolute disbelief for like not even minutes, maybe hours, maybe days. I
Hours.
just couldn't believe that was real.
Yes. Yeah, I
But
feel that.
while like betting on things and everything gives us like all these like amazing moments and then sometimes lows of the lows, we have somebody here at our station who is not on the, he's not a fan of gambling. And he's very much against sports gambling. So I am asking this question on his behalf, because there are some negative aspects of gambling. So I wanted to ask, what are your thoughts on responsible gambling and how do you promote it in your work in the industry that you work in? How do you see other people promote responsible gambling?
I get this all the time. I get messages all the time of like, okay, gambling is an addiction or it's a sin. And, there's a lot of negativity surrounding sports betting and especially how much more widespread it's going to be or how widespread it is now with like NFL teams partnering up with sports books and all that stuff. I always promote responsible gambling and very often I will post on Twitter like, hey, I'm just not having a good week, or hey, I just went on a cold streak. I'm just gonna take a break. Like, I make sure that it's that I voice myself and make sure that people know that it's okay to not make a pick. And, right now, for example, in the MLB, I've been going on a cold streak in the MLB and it's almost all-star break as well. So kind of the teams are slowing down, they're kind of resting their good players and all that stuff. So it's just like that time where you can't accurately predict bets and it's a time to take a break and that's okay. And I always tell people, like, people are always like, okay, well, do you have any props for this? Do you have any bets for that? And I'm like, no, I don't really bet on that. No, I'm just going to take a break. Like, it's okay to take a break. And I mean, every pick that I post, I bet myself. And I think what's wrong in kind of the sports betting industry is that a lot of these huge media companies, they're forcing their betting experts to give out picks for every single game, every single player prop. And that's just not how real bettors operate. I mean, we bet the fights or the games that we actually really love, and that's how you should be doing it. But now it's kind of like professional handicappers versus content creators. And content creators are always like posting like a bunch of picks and I mean, it's fun and all, same game parlays and player props are fun, but it's not responsible gambling when you are posting it every single day and you're not putting a lot of effort into the picks. You're just posting it because it's content. So I always tell people like, hey, don't bet on it if you don't really love it. If you're not truly invested in the game or the fight, then don't do it. And there's a fine line. Addiction is a very, very sensitive topic and it's very real. And I've seen people who have gambling addictions and I've watched documentaries too. And it's really sad. So as much as like professional handicappers don't like that books like BetMGM, DraftKings, FanDuel are limiting people. That's actually a really good thing that they are limiting people because they don't want people to spend more than their means. And yeah, and I always tell people you need a separate bankroll for gambling. You can't just like get it straight from your paycheck. Just allocate a certain amount of money for gambling. Keep it in your account. And if you find yourself depositing more than you're withdrawing, then you may need to stop.
Zach, before you jump in again, I just want to say that's a very, very good point because it's a sentiment that we always say. It's kind of like a self-regulation. And the biggest problem in sports betting is what you said. It's misinformation along with this extended use or this hyper fixation on it. You see people doing it every single solitary day. And you see that this is a misrepresentation of what it is in reality. And the remedy for it is self-regulation. Do this healthy or else. At your own expense. So I think, again, yeah, you just have to have healthy habits. And I think it's a simple science. Just try to have healthy habits and do it in the most responsible way you can. Everything is moderation, right? If you eat too much broccoli, like that's also bad for you. So just enjoy it in the most responsible way possible. Don't do it too much, but do it enough to where you get your fix. So the happy medium. And that's what we tried to. That's the benchmark we try to reach. Sometimes people go over, sometimes people are under, but you just have to trust, I guess, human beings in that sense, if that makes sense.
Exactly. And I used to be the kind of bettor who just only bet like the big games, Super Bowl, World Series, NBA Finals, and that's totally fine and that's how I used to do, but now right now, I'm gonna be honest. I'm kind of itching for some like more sports to bet on. But this is great because again, with the cold streak I've been on, I could use a break. And I hope that a lot of people who are new to betting or have bet for a long time, get some self-control and self-awareness and just make sure that they're being responsible. But truly, you are in control of yourself. No one, on ESPN or UFC is forcing you to take these bets. Everyone is presenting it as, hey, I'm betting on this. This is the reason why. And you're welcome to tail or fade if you want. And that is your choice. So yeah, you can't blame, big media to, be responsible for your gambling addiction. It's kind of all on you. And it is like an illness, but yeah, you gotta know when to get help.
Definitely. I mean, for the next question, just in that same realm of gambling and it's kind of coincidence with sports, I guess, with how sports has really blown up, especially the UFC since that little COVID period. How much do you credit sports betting for a kind of the rise of some viewership in some sports, such as the UFC? Because I remember before COVID time, it wasn't as popular, and then we hit COVID and UFC was the only thing going. As you mentioned, it was horse racing or UFC. And a lot of people became UFC fans during that time. So how much would you credit maybe sports betting kind of adding to that?
I credit sports betting a ton. Like it you I mean, me being born and raised in Vegas, it was always a thing. Like we always knew sports betting, it wasn't taboo. But like going to other states and other cities, no one talks about sports betting, no one really knows about sports betting. But in the past couple of years, when I've traveled like outside of Las Vegas, I see and hear people talking about betting all the time. Like I'll be waiting in line for something and see people on their phone on their betting apps, like both men and women. And I'm like, oh my God, I am so incredibly excited. Like this is my industry. And I almost like want to chat them up. But I credit sports betting a lot for the increased viewership in all sports and especially women's NBA, by the way. Because we can bet on it and we have amazing players, especially the Las Vegas Aces. But yes, I credit sports betting a lot because it is so much more fun when you have a little action on the game. Because for me, in Las Vegas, we grew up with no sports teams. And now we've got the Raiders. We're getting the Oakland A's. We have the Vegas Golden Knights. Yep. We've got the Las Vegas Aces. And we will be getting an NBA team one of these days. Yeah, I can't give a lot of information on that, but we will be getting an NBA team. But now it's like now people who are born and raised in Vegas, they have that connection of a sports team. And of course they're willing to watch even if they don't bet. But for someone like me, I had no connection. So betting is my connection to these sports. And because of it, I'm a fan. And I'm a fan of the most random teams because the most random teams win me money. And that's kind of how you're a sports bettor is when you have like a bunch of random gear for random teams.
As somebody who's from New Mexico, I mean, I can definitely relate to growing up without having sports teams.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we still don't have sports teams, so I envy you a little bit, but I moved, so I'm no longer in New Mexico, so I don't have to deal with that, but I would love to cheer for a professional New Mexican team if we ever got one. It would be
Aw, I'm sorry.
incredible.
Wait, do you guys even have like a minor league baseball or hockey
We
team?
have a minor league baseball, and we have minor league baseball, and now we have a, I guess, minor league soccer, you would call it. So they're pretty fun
Oh,
too.
that's awesome.
We're getting it popping slowly,
Yeah, I
slowly.
think you guys are like the Albuquerque Chihuahuas or something in minor league
Something like
baseball.
that.
Yeah,
Oh
because
no, baseball for the Isotopes.
oh,
That's
the
one I
Isotopes.
remember. That's a dope
Okay.
name, like the Simpsons. That's I love that. Isotopes. If you want any of our New York sports teams, you can have them, guys. They're not very as
Hey, they're not good, but they have big names. The Rangers, come on. It is my dream to go to MSG and watch a New York Rangers game. Like, New York is the hub of like sports and crazy sports fans. You got the Yankees. You have two baseball teams, guys. You got three basketball teams. Like, why do you need so many? Your state is so small.
And all of them will fall short. I mean, moving on.
Oh man.
I mean,
Well, so
yeah.
talking about further to move past that, I guess we don't want to get into New York sports right now because it's not a bad time. I wouldn't say it's too bad of a time, but let's shift gears. Aside from your position at the UFC, I've seen that you're active in other areas of content creation, such as your YouTube, your new Minty's Mini series. I just saw that you adopted a dog, by the way, so congrats. I miss my dog back home, seeing the videos of your dog. So the dog is very cute. Also, I saw the video the other day about coming out finally with the breed of your dog, I think you said. I'm not
Yeah.
sure. Yeah.
Yes. So I took an ancestry DNA test for my dog, just because, he's a mutt and I want to know, his traits health-wise and behavioral-wise and, physically, what does he need? Is he a hunting breed? Is he, what is he? I want to exercise him properly and feed him properly. But it said he was Chihuahua and that dog is not a Chihuahua. And I love dogs and I'm like a dog, expert, a self-proclaimed dog expert. And I see my dog and he looks like a Jack Russell Terrier. So yes, I did adopt a dog. His name is Tater Tot. And I was told he was a terrier mix and I still believe he's a terrier mix. So I'm going to get another DNA test because I heard that Ancestry is actually not a very accurate brand. So I will let you guys know. But yes, I did have a YouTube page and I still do, but honestly, I don't have the patience for editing, guys. So keeping the YouTube page alive is just more work than it is worth it. And YouTube is so different when it comes to getting views and clicks and interactions compared to TikTok and Twitter and Instagram is the three that I'm used to. YouTube is definitely its own world, and I find that it's actually very hard to break into it and just to stay consistent with YouTube. It just seems more like a process than it is with the short form, platforms.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to add on to that. I personally really like the style of your videos. I think it's cool that you
Thanks.
combine like your own personal interests and like stories along with sports picks, because I feel like that's every sports fan's brain is so many things at once, and then sports somehow will make its way back in there. So I wanted to ask about like your expansion outside of just sports betting content that you're putting out, and where do you see yourself going with this, or eventually where do you want to end up in your journey in content creation?
I love being creative and I love marrying creativity and sports news and sports betting. So lately I've tried to be a little bit more active on TikTok and not really just talking about sports betting because TikTok is not really the place to give out picks. It used to be for me a place where I could just do little skits and parodies of just every day, what the sports bettor goes through, like all the losses and all the wins and stuff like that. And I poke fun at different kinds of sports bettors. But lately, I've been posting more news or weird stories in sports. And I want to continue with content creation, and I don't mind being in front of the camera, but for the next couple of years. However, I don't know, in the future, let's say 10 years from now, my plan would still be in content creation, but more behind the scenes of cooking up different ideas. Like I want to be part of something, like building something. Like I don't know if you guys know what MLB Creator Class is, but it's the MLB Every year they do this thing where it's like a contest, and like people who make MLB content get to submit their TikToks basically, for the MLB creator class. And whoever has like the best MLB content or the most votes from their followers actually gets to work for MLB and their social media team. Yeah. And it's freaking amazing. And my old boss at Yahoo actually created that. So I want to do something like that and create something and kind of like help creators get seen and get jobs and get exposure like that. So that's kind of what I want to do because this is the time for like ideas and different things and different ways to gain viewership and gain fans, and I think I could really do it. So that's kind of the route I want to take. Oh, you're on mute, Madi.
Might be muted. There we go. No
This is
worries.
my brain. This is the way my brain
I was like, is
works.
it sign language?
I wouldn't know that too slow up here. I'm going to play a little bit of armchair psychology with you. We're going to extend on that. Where is Minty Betts 10 years from now? What are your goals, aspirations, and focuses as you move through this UFC space in particular? Like, what is the end goal if there is? Or maybe that's too far for you, or but where are you in 10 years, if I may ask?
I know I just said, for example, 10 years from now, but I don't know because right now, to be completely like transparent with you guys, I got laid off in December from Yahoo because we got a new president, and he kind of just changed the entire layout of Yahoo and got rid of the sports betting department when we had launched it 4 years ago. So I thought that I would be with Yahoo for a really, really long time. And UFC was just kind of my side thing, but now UFC is just my main source of income, my main job. So right now, in my short term, like 5 year goal, I want to work with UFC and incorporate more lifestyle content with UFC. I don't know if you guys saw, but recently I had like a little like shop with me series that UFC posted, and I kind of helped the UFC store promote some of their Fight Week merchandise for UFC 303. And they really liked it. And I have so many ideas that I want to bring to them and kind of grow their TikTok and their UFC store Instagram. And I want to grow, I don't know, other parts of UFC where it may be lacking and be more personal. Because obviously, we know UFC, the product is the fighters, but there's other ways to promote and to boost sales. So I think I could be a really important part of that. So hopefully in 10 years, UFC is still my thing. Or if it's not UFC, hopefully it is. It's another company where I can, again, like throw in my innovative ideas and just help others get noticed and, help others help us in a way, if that makes sense. So in 10 years, I hope to be in that position where it's more higher up and more behind the scenes rather than in front of the camera.
And I could see that your crossover ability, if I may, because with the advent of sports betting, it's only going to proliferate more and more, for better or for worse, as we talked about before, whether people are doing it healthily or not. There's always going to be a space for it. And NBA, MLB, there's always crossover for that. So Minty Betts will be a way bigger name in the future. And we're going to see you at the top, hopefully.
Aw, thank you so much. I really appreciate
So to end this on a fun note, I always like to ask every UFC fan I know this exact same question. I
Yes.
can never really answer it myself. It's a question that's completely determined on like the vibes of the week, I feel like. But the
Okay.
question is, if you were a fighter, what would be your walkout song?
Ooh, okay, that's so funny because when I talk to all the media members at UFC, I always ask them too. So I think that I would go Vegas by Doja Cat. I really love that song. I'm from Vegas, and I heard that song first. And I don't know if you guys saw the Elvis movie with Austin Butler, but I was like, "Oh my God, that is the coolest song, and that is the hottest guy ever." So I'm like, "Yeah, I'm gonna walk out to that vibe right there." Vegas by Doja Cat. That is my walkout song for sure.
Zach, what's yours? I'm interested. Zach, what is yours?
Oh man, I told you this is the like hardest question for me to answer because it's completely on vibes and like whatever is just like in my earphones for the week. If I had to pick one right now, and I want to be original because a lot of my pick is usually like somebody that I've watched, one of my favorite fighters when I walk out. Usually it's Izzy when he walks out. He always has such fun walkouts, I feel like. But I gotta be a little unique, draw a little bit of inspiration from my favorite fighters, the Diaz brothers. I'm gonna go Deftones and I'm gonna go Cherry Waves by Deftones. That's gonna be my walkout song. That's been in my headphones a lot recently. So that's what I'm going with. Madi, what about you?
Me? Oh my God. You know what? This may be counterintuitive, but half of the battle of a UFC fight's won before the cage. So I'm gonna go with Baby Shark. Let me explain. I'm not the most intimidating guy. I look like I'm 17 years old and I'm shaped like a bagel. But if a grown man walks out like playing Baby Shark, they're gonna think, oh, this guy's crazy. And it might actually work in my favor. And then I get my face like kicked in. But
And you know what? It's memorable. Like that's what people want. Like they get hyped up or they want to remember the song. Like Alex Volkanovski, he's always walking out to Working Man or whatever.
yes.
And like it's a cool song, but like we know it and the group is Australian, so like we always associate him with that and it's just very memorable. Like we always expect it. So I think that's actually a very smart answer.
A great answer. Actually, now that you say it, I kind of want to change mine. I know that's
Yeah,
not
change it.
fair, but you made me think of Ty Tuivasa when you talk about coming out to like a kind of funky song like Baby Shark. So girls just want to have fun. I think when Tuivasa walked out to that was the best thing ever.
That's
That's
funny.
what
And
I'm searching to.
I think my second song would be Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard, because that's a classic, you know?
It's a classic. So shift
Actually, I'm
gears
sorry.
from
There's
here.
really
Go
quick.
for it.
There's actually a lot of fighters that don't pick their own songs. So the girl that I work with, I don't actually know her position, but she takes care of all the fighters. She actually is the one that picks it for them. So sometimes when you see like fighters and their walkout song not really like going together, it's probably because they didn't pick it and they really didn't care. So I think that would be a cool job, by the way, is to pick the fighter songs when they don't want to pick one.
Little interesting behind the scenes stuff there.
Yeah.
Not everyone knows that, I feel like. So
Yeah.
I think I heard something about that in the past where Dana was talking about, and Dana was like, sometimes I pick the songs for some of the fighters and sometimes it sticks. So
Oh,
yeah.
God. Yeah.
It's always
Interesting.
interesting
I
to
think that's
hear.
a really big deal. Like, I think that's a lot of pressure to pick a song for someone, honestly.
Definitely. I can only imagine. I'm already indecisive about my own song. I don't know how I'm going to
Yeah.
pick one for someone else. But so to shift gears a little bit and wrap up this show, I want to quickly preview next week's UFC Denver card, headlined by the former strawweight champ, Rose Namajunas, facing rising contender Tracy Cortez, who just got a new haircut, by the way, who is stepping in on a couple weeks' notice to replace an ill Macy Barber. A couple interesting fights are on this card in the Mile High City. So, Minty, are there any matchups that catch your eye on this card?
Okay, so usually I always have a bet for the main event, but I'm gonna be honest with you. I do not like giving out picks for the main event. It's always like overhyped. The price is always just too, I don't know. It's always priced wrong, I feel. But I have to give out picks for the main event. So for this fight, I mean, for this particular main event, I just don't think there's a really good price for a decision prop, and I would have bet a decision prop. It's like minus 250. It's not really a matchup that interests me. I would have much preferred to see Macy, and I would have absolutely bet on Macy Barber to win. I do like both fighters, and I kind of lean maybe Tracy Cortez plus 5.5. And I think that's only minus 135. And for those who don't know, plus 5.5, you can now bet on the judges' scorecards. And if the combined total of the judges' scorecards is within 5 points, then I cash my bet for Tracy Cortez. Or if she just wins straight up or just wins by finish, I would cash that. So I am kind of leaning Tracy, but man, I don't know. And for the co-main event, I don't know about you guys, but I think it's a really odd matchup with Santiago Ponzinibbio and Muslim Salikov. I do like in the lightweight bout, John Silva over Drew Dober. That guy is coming in with a ton of momentum. I mean, he just won by second round finish to Charles Jourdain only 2 weeks ago. And Drew Dober has a lot of drive here. Drew Dober is someone that I used to always back in betting, but lately I don't know, he's very experienced, but I think the damage is kind of getting to him. I still think he's very durable and very powerful, and he's just like a shot for shot kind of guy. But I like John Silva in this one. However, the one bet that I am betting, I'm sorry, one of the two bets that I'm betting is going to be Evan Elder to win by KO or decision at minus 165. And Evan Elder is coming in on 4 days' notice as his opponent, Darius Flowers. But Evan is minus 410 as a favorite. So just to reduce that juice, I'm betting Evan Elder to win by knockout or what did I say? Decision at minus 165. That's a great reduction. I also parlayed Jasmine Jazdevicius and Gabriel Bonfim at plus 140. That's all I got.
Oh, very good. That's more than I was expecting. So that's good because this is a hard card I feel like to pick apart. For main event, I'm so torn because it's a weird matchup, and especially on such short notice. And you also have to note that the card's in Denver at elevation. It's a hard one to pick just because even a lot of fights going the distance, I feel like isn't very likely just because of the elevation. It's still like it happens every time we see a card at elevation. But I mean, for me, for the co-main at least, I feel like Ponzinibbio to win by KO is probably my pick, or
Like
at
that.
least I was looking at KO or decision at -175 because Muslim Salikov is coming off of a knockout within the past 4 months. I think he's 40 years old. He's dropped his last two now. And it just feels to me like he's 40 years old and he's getting all these fights and he's losing, keeps coming back very quickly. It almost feels like this may be the end. I'm trying to get as much money as I can before it's over. So that's why I feel confident with Ponzinibbio maybe getting a knockout in this one. And then the Drew Dober one's always hard for me because me and
Drew
Monty
Dober.
always talk about Drew Dober. We love Drew Dober on this
Love
podcast. And
him.
it's so hard to pick against him for me because, and especially because John Silva's a featherweight coming up to lightweight. And I don't know if there's a featherweight in the world who has the pop to beat him. And that's another one where I'm torn on. For me, I think I'm going to go a little opposite here. It might go Dober
I'm gonna go
by
Dober.
knockout, but I'm not sure. That's just that's another one of the heart gut feeling picks for me because it's just every time I see Drew Dober on a card, I'm thinking violence and knockout.
Yes, I totally agree. I'm so sorry, Madi, to cut you off.
Go
I totally agree. Drew Dober, again, is someone that I usually back and I love him. And man, he's just live anytime. Like he could win at any moment. But again, I think for me, it's just the momentum thing for Gian Silva. I'm just leaning. I have not bet it. And I probably m might not because it's essentially a pick 'em. And Gian Silva is coming in as a slight favorite. So I'm a little surprised to see that.
Slight
Oh, no, me
favorite.
too. I was shocked.
And we have to
Sorry, go ahead,
remember,
Madi.
I mean, like Drew Dober is a guy like me and Zach, we talk about all the time, the power in him. I mean, he's coming off a loss against Renato Moicano, Money Moicano. If you know Money Moicano, you know the
Love
personality.
him.
Love him. He's amazing. And he's a rising contender in this division. I know it was a decision, a unanimous decision loss to him, but I don't know if a featherweight moving up does have the pop to beat him. We just saw what Moicano did to Jalen Turner. And I mean, three rounds with him. I gotta go with Drew Dober. I think he sustains that. And between Tracy Cortez and Rose Namajunas, I'm gonna go with Tracy Cortez. I think she's just a more efficient fighter. I think her wrestling is superior, like far better. And the way Rose beats you is getting hit three times and hitting you four. I think Tracy's a little bit cleaner there as well. I don't think it's something that a lot of people notice, but I do think she's a bit more efficient both on the feet and on the ground. So I'm gonna go with her on top of the fact that she cut her hair. She had the warrior spirit to do so. I mean, like it's small stuff like that that just gives me the edge for her. So those are two fights in particular that I'm looking at. And like, I got a guy here that I think, or a woman who I think is gonna come out on top.
I like it. I like it. Tracy Cortez by decision is actually +240. So it might be worth like sprinkling a little bit on that because I think it could honestly go all the way with her wrestling. And typically when we see wrestlers, it tends to drag a little bit. I know it's five rounds and it's going to be a sweat, but I just don't like really what I saw from Rose in her fight against Amanda Ribas. So I think it could just be kind of sluggish and slow. And I'm hoping for fireworks here, but yeah, I'm leaning Tracy Cortez too. That's why I like her with the points.
That's why I like the Drew Dober and John Silva fight on this card because I feel like that's the fireworks right there. And I think I've already said anytime Drew Dober's in the octagon, it's always a good time. But John Silva's also a really good fighter and he's coming off a knockout, I mean, 2 weeks ago, if not even less. So that was I think he's another guy who's super exciting, newer face in the UFC. So super excited for that fight. And I'm excited for this card. It's always a good time watching a fight night. We didn't get one last week, so I'm itching a little bit for a new one. So super excited for this weekend with whatever happens. Thank you so much, Minty, for the picks. We always appreciate it. And with that, that's gonna do it for our episode this week. But before we go, want to give a massive thanks to Minty again for joining our show today. It was an absolute honor having you on today. It was a really fun time. If you guys have not checked out her pages yet, she goes by Minty Betts on Instagram, X, YouTube, and TikTok, I think. Please correct me if I'm wrong. So show her some love over there, guys, if you get the chance. She makes great content, great picks. If you want a little, want to win a little extra money, there you go. But as per usual, I was joined by my phenomenal co-host, Mahdi Dembele. I am Zach Cordova, and Pound for Pound is a production of WFUV Sports. Thank you.